What have you determined to accomplish during this new year, somebody? Sister Nola.
Study the Bible more.
We could all come to Wednesday night Bible study more.
Amen. Sunday school.
Amen. Someone else? What have you determined to accomplish this coming year?
To be a better Christian.
Be a better Christian. And Bill is going to report to us next. Amen. How many of us got room for improvement in being a better Christian? Someone else. Maybe you made a resolution. Brother Harry? Witness more for the Lord. All right. Anybody over here have any aspirations for the new year? All right. Try and get health insurance. That's a big deal now for folks, especially who are self-employed like Sister Christine. Yeah. Anyone else? Want to walk closer to Jesus. Amen. Brother Jacob, I see your hand up back there.
To improve
what God has given you. How many have you know you got some talents that God gave you? How many have some talents that God's given you? Come on, Mike, put your hand up back there. We see his talents, don't we?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Those musicians up there on the stage or the fountain, I think they are doing wonderful
job. Amen. 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 Now, another question for you. What would you do if your doctor told you that you only have 24 hours to live?
I would tell everyone I could get a hold of about the Lord. I would tell everyone I could get a hold of about the Lord. I would spend the whole 24 hours on the street just running up to people and trying to get them to see. And we really should kind of do that anyway, but I think it would hit.
All right.
24 hours.
All 24 hours trying to win people to Jesus. Someone else, what would you do? You've got 24 left. Make sure you're ready to meet him. Amen.
I'm ready to meet.
Yeah. Brother Doug. You got 24 hours. What you going to do with it? Family is important, amen. Call the family in. I walked up to a man's house here not just a few weeks ago, and I reminded him of what his grandfather told him on his deathbed. I said, you need to be getting to it. Your grandfather said, you boys, you grandsons of mine, I want to meet you in heaven. I just said to him, I said, you know what your grandfather said? He put his head down and said, I know. I didn't have to remind him of what he actually said. He knew. We are looking at a new year. Starting this new year of 2015, what is your focus? That's what I'm trying to get to. have a better year this coming year. What I wish to accomplish and do. Things I want to buy to make my life more comfortable. Hello? There's a passage of Scripture that I want to share with you. Jesus is foretelling the future to His disciples. Mark 13. As Jesus was leaving the temple that day, one of His disciples said, "Teacher, look at these magnificent buildings. Look at the impressive stones in the walls." Wow. Jesus replied. Now you would have thought Jesus might say, "Yeah, isn't that wonderful, my, that's marvelous." But listen to the Lord's reply. "Yes. Look at these great buildings, but they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." Well, the disciples wasn't expecting that answer. Hello? They had no idea that Jesus was going to predict that this would happen to their beautiful temple. And in just 35, 36, 37 years from the time Jesus said it, it happened. The great temple lay in ruins. They pried the stones apart to get the gold out from underneath between the stones. There laid the beautiful temple scattered. You see, like the disciples, most of us have our focus on the grand things of here and now. In verse 1, the disciples were focused on the grandeur of the building of the temple and man's accomplishment. They gave little thought about preparing for the future. They just took for granted that everything would continue as always. And boy, don't we do that in America. Everything we wake up every morning, everything's going to be just the same as it's always been. Prosperous, and we have what we have, and we are blessed like we're blessed. Do you know that in the prophecies of the Bible, the United States of America is not mentioned one place in the final scene? It's as if it doesn't exist. Think about that for a moment. Jesus shook the complacency of the disciples to the very core when He told them that these buildings would be completely demolished, to the point that not even one stone would be left on another. Have we given any thought as to what Jesus has prophesied would happen in our near future? If He were here today, if Jesus would appear here on this platform and talk to us today about what would happen in 2015, I wonder if it would shake our complacency. I wonder if it would cause us to pause and pay more attention about living for Christ, doing His will. I want you to know that Jesus gave, in the rest of this story, in the rest of His discourse to these disciples, He gave to us several signs of His coming. I know 60 years ago, I've heard preachers preaching the Lord could come tomorrow. And He could have, but He chose not to yet. And I'm still declaring the message that it might be that in 2015, it's much more likely that He can come this year than any of the years in the past. But I want us to look at some of these signs quickly, and I want us to shake our complacency as we see the things that are coming to pass that Jesus said would happen. Just like He told the disciples, in your future there's going to be the destruction of this temple, and it happened. He's telling us, in your future there's going to be some signs to fulfill the fact that I'm about to return. Number one that He spoke of was deception and false messiahs. Jesus said, many shall come in My name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There's been a known list of 77, including Jews, Christians, Muslims, and others who have claimed to be Messiah, and they have lived multiplied millions of people away from Christ. There's some today, there's one in South America right now that blatantly says, I am Jesus reincarnate. And he's doing it among evangelical Christians, and they are buying it by the thousands, leading away from the true Messiah. How many have arisen in Islam just recently in the last couple of years saying, I am the one who is coming back to fulfill the words of Mohammed. I am the last Messiah for the people. There's even been Jewish messiahs who have risen out of the Jewish faith and declared themselves to be the Messiah. That's already happened, it is happening, and it's leading many millions away from Christ. There's that thing of world violence that Jesus spoke of. He called it war. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. Early wars touched only a few tribes or a few people. But in these last few decades, war touches the soul of nearly all nations on the earth, resulting in the deaths of millions. Just the other day, it's been announced we, the United States, are no longer at war with anybody. We've closed the Afghanistan war. We're out of there. No, we're not. We just sent some new fellows in. Hello? We've just sent some new fellows into Iraq. Guess what? We're meddling in Syria over there. Hello? I don't know who in the world in Washington is expecting us to believe that. Can you imagine the millions of people in this century who have died at the cost of war? Today there are several hundreds in Africa where they're fighting and there are wars, and people will die by the thousands. Jesus said that's a sign. He also spoke of signs in nature, and famine and earthquake and pestilence. The United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization estimates that nearly 700 or 870 million people in the world today, out of 7.1 billion, 870 million people, or one in every eight persons on the earth, are suffering from chronic malnourishment in 2010 and 2012. Can we believe that? Look down and see if you can see your belt. Not here in America, huh? It's hard for us to understand. But Jesus said that would be a sign. And to think that 1 in 8 people that is alive today, 1 in 8 little children, they don't have enough food to eat to nourish their little bodies. There are around 500,000 earthquakes every year. 100,000 of these can actually be felt. And it has been proven that there is an increase in frequency. Who among us felt the one here in D.C. the other year? I couldn't feel it because I was riding in my Mercury. Who ever heard of it around here? And yet, there it was. Jesus said, He's saying to us like He said to the disciples about the temple, these are things that you will see that are telling you that it is coming close to my return. Jesus spoke of pestilence. The definition of a pestilence is a contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is virulent and devastating. At the current time, there are 5 illnesses in the news that to one degree or another are posing a threat to the world population or are sickening large groups of people. Anybody heard of Ebola? Enterovirus 68, chikungunya, Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, and Marburg. You've heard of all of those children getting sick all of a sudden and some of them dying. That's one of them. And isn't it astounding how new outbreaks come about? Right now in London, there's a lady, a nurse, who is fighting for her life from Ebola. Here it is, the first people to ever die of it in the United States of America. I've kind of in the past, when I heard of it over in Africa, said, well, that's their problem. They've got it to deal with. But now, it has shown itself in America. And we are seeing the outpouring of the words of Jesus. Persecution. Christians are the most persecuted religious group worldwide. An average of at least 180 Christians around the world are killed each month for their faith. Comes from the source of that is Open Doors, USA. Can you imagine how many of us has faced death because of our faith? But in other parts of the world, 180 a month are dying. That's nearly 2,000 or better than 2,000 a year are actually paying for their faith with their lives. And Jesus said it would happen. Apostasy. Jesus said there would be apostasy in the last days. He said, let no one in any way deceive you, for it, Jesus' return that is, will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness be revealed, the son of destruction. Apostasy means to fall away from the truth. Therefore, an apostate is someone who has once believed and then rejected the truth of God. Apostasy is a rebellion against God because it is rebellion against the truth of God's holy word. Denial of the infallibility of scriptures. Do you realize there are thousands of people. There are whole denominations that will tell you now that when you read this book, the Bible, you can tear parts of it out because part of it's not the Word of God. I had a professor of religion theology in the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Gettysburg stand in front of the class that I was in, and he said, if you read a passage of Scripture and it doesn't mean anything to you, then to you it's not the Word of God. He was just saying the whole Bible is a fable. One of the other apostasies is the denial of the divinity of Jesus Christ. He is not the divine Son of God who came into this earth. He was just another prophet or another. I'm glad that when Jesus came, He has made more of an impression on this earth and the population of it than any other person who has ever lived. Somebody say praise the Lord. There is the denial of the Trinity of God. They come around knocking on your door wanting to offer you a pamphlet, and they'll tell you that God is not a triune God. There is no such thing as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you read their Bible, which they translated to fit their beliefs, or the Russellites, then you see where they have changed the original Greek to make it appear as though God is not a triune God. Not only among they, but there are many other religions and many other churches who are now saying there's no such thing as a Trinity. There's the denial of the resurrection of Jesus. There are individuals who will tell you flat out, He just swooned on the cross. And they didn't really bury Him. He didn't really die. He revived after He... They didn't have CPR back then. He died, He was buried, He was mourned, His mother cried. The disciples were fearful for their lives because of His death. But He came out of the grave.
Amen.
Hallelujah! And rose again. Some of the other apostasy teachings that are being taught in our churches and around the world: acceptance of sinful practices in church. Practices such as abortion. It's all right to kill babies. Practices such as homosexuality, same-sex marriage, gambling. We even have bingo in our churches some places. Hello? Make money. Drunkenness. Praying to Mary for forgiveness of sins. I was just at a funeral Monday week ago. And as I sat in that funeral in the Catholic Church at Hancock, the priest in charge that day instructed everybody in the church to pray for Mary to forgive them of their sins. I wanted to stand up and shout. Here's another one: teaching salvation after physical death. Purgatory. Teaching people you can be saved after you physically die. These and many, many others. I can't go into all of them this morning. But they're virulent and they're spreading like wildfire because they meet the desires of what people want to have. Talk to them who have tickling ears. Jesus also prophesied false leaders and false teachers. They are not called by God, these people. They invent their own gospel. Hello? Oprah? Amen. I would name a few more. They invent their own gospel. They preach what people want to hear. They preach to make money. They build their churches with unregenerate rejects. And they are sent by the devil. They are the same as false prophets of the Old Testament. And they cannot have regenerate people in their churches. And yet people are flocking to them by the thousands. Guess why? It's what they want to hear. Rather than the truth. But I want you to know Jesus preached about also endurance and salvation. He said, they that endure to the end shall be saved. In spite of all these troubling last day challenges, many followers of Christ will endure to live for Christ to the very end. Hallelujah. They will refuse to compromise regardless of the circumstances. They are the ones who shall be saved. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah, there is victory if we endure. We don't have to bend. Remember three boys who went into a fiery furnace? They wouldn't burn because they wouldn't bend.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to say it like it is today. If you don't want to burn in hell, don't bend to the things of this world.
Amen.
Don't yield to the things of this world. One of the last things that Jesus spoke as a sign of His coming was evangelism and witnessing. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come. Now the thought process here is that when he says all nations, he's not really talking about countries like Afghanistan, Egypt, United States. He's talking about people groups. There are 13,000 different people groups in all the world that have to be reached by the gospel of Jesus. Of those 13,000 people groups, 10,187 have the New Testament in their primary language. Totaling 6,352,000,000 individuals out of a total of 7,284,500,000 people. I'm telling you, we're getting that close to the coming of Christ. I hope this kind of shakes your complacency about how you're living this coming year. Jesus, like He prophesied to the disciples, this temple will come down. He is prophesying to us, these things will come to pass, and then will the end come. We are that close to preaching the gospel to every people group in the world. By giving us these signs, Jesus was doing the same thing He did for His disciples when He told them the temple would be destroyed. He is telling us that regardless of what happens in 2015, keep your eyes focused on Christ and not the things of this world. You must occupy till Jesus comes, but don't be so caught up in the affairs of this life that you are not prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes, Laura, go ahead and do your student teaching. But don't be so caught up, I'm going to get this done before the Lord comes. Jacob, finish up HJC or HCC, I think it's called now. Finish your courses there. Be adamant in getting that done, occupying, and while you're there, let a little Jesus behind. Amen?
Amen.
And go on, make application for your college where you want to attend and transfer to. But during the whole thing, don't forget that the Lord can interrupt it all. Nathan, I hope you're able to get a tool chest with a whole bunch of, what is it? The kind you want? What kind is it? Snap-ons. But don't be disappointed if you never get the tool chest and Jesus says, leave it all behind and come on up. Amen. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, how many believe it?
Yes.
Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Glory.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we are, which are alive and remain shall not unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall come alive and rise. Then we which are alive and remain in the and shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It could happen this year. Nathan, I hope you have a snap-on wrench in your hand when it comes. Throw it at one of those old guys that's not ready to go. Here, buddy, I'm leaving. Hello? Whatever you're doing every day of this coming year, let your focus be, Jesus gave us signs, and I'm looking for him. He can come any moment. He can come any time. And I'm telling you, what we're seeing and what I've said here today about the signs of Jesus are pointing very, very much toward his soon return. I want to go be with him, don't you?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Stand and tell somebody, I'm leaving here one of these days. Are you going with me?
I'll leave here one of these days.